and loss of appetite.
I always wanted to learn Spanish, but I never thought I'd have the time. Then I discovered Babbel.
Babbel's lessons are fun. They only take like 10 or 15 minutes, and in 3 weeks, presto, you're speaking another language, like magic.
I love that Babbel's lessons aren't just robots talking. They're voiced by native speakers, so you get the pronunciation just right.
If you want to learn a language, there's no faster, easier, better way than
Babbel.
Babbel.
Babbel. Go to Babbel.com to try for free. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
KFC's $5 Mac and Cheese Bowls. For a limited time, get a big bowl of creamy mac and cheese topped with crispy chicken and sprinkled with even more melty cheese for just $5. Available in classic or spicy. Order now on the KFC app or KFC.com. That's finger licking good.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24/7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. We're here on a little bit of a windy day here.
All of a sudden, yeah.
In St. Vincent College. I can't keep my notebook open here as I sit here as we get ready to watch practice. Pull back the curtain. I got my laptop in front of me.
Oh, you always have your setup.
Notebook.
Yeah. Got your roster over
notes,
here.
Got the roster over here in case we have to reference anything. I got Matt to my left. I got the Steelers players here getting ready to practice in front of me here. And I'm also watching the Pony World Series here.
Yeah, you're multitasking like crazy over here.
Yeah, Washington just went ahead 5-2. Just went ahead 5-2.
Three-run jack by your guy, huh?
Yeah, over at Texas. So that's in the bottom of the fifth inning here. So we're getting down to
Please keep us posted.
I will do so. We're here for, I believe this is day 16.
16, I think.
Something like
yesterday. Day,
training
was
camp
15.
Day 16.
Okay.
Well, we've seen some stuff happen.
18 total, right?
Yeah. Got two more after today.
Okay.
As I reported this morning, bad news for Anthony Miller and Carl Joseph. Both done for the year. It's a shame.
Yeah.
Really a shame.
I mean, I thought Joseph probably was on the outside looking in. But
nobody was here working harder than him.
That's what I say. He's like the easiest guy to root for in the whole place because he's out here all the time. I mean, I remember that day when it was just pouring, and he's sitting down there on like the 20-yard line on the numbers doing drills by himself. It's like, you're on fire, dude. I mean, so it's not a work ethic issue with
him. No.
But Miller, I kind of fell in love with when I was here. You know, liked him more and more every time I saw him. I thought he was having a tremendous camp. It seemed like kind of an odd injury. I mean, I didn't – kind of snuck up on us.
It was
in an odd time. I was counting on him to be in the top four, I would say. Maybe Austin would be ahead of him, but would be in the mix as a slot option. Did some gunner work too. So, as is the case in all across the league, when somebody goes down, that opens the door for somebody else. And I know you fiddled around with some roster stuff.
I did.
And I'm curious what your wide receiver situation is. And that was before this.
Well, that was
right?
Before, prior to the injury, I had Anthony Miller making it. Now, I also saw Calvin Austin today. Now, earlier today when he came up through, he had a walking boot on his foot.
Okay.
Looking at him here today on the field, he doesn't have the walking boot on anymore.
I guess
so that's a good sign.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So
he's not practicing, of course.
He's not practicing, but it looks like it's more of a protective thing. Maybe he has a little bit of a foot sprain or an ankle sprain there that they were trying to protect. But he was out there, you know, catching some balls, not running or anything like that, but he's walking around on the field without the boot on. So that's a good sign.
He looks anxious, too. I mean, just his body language. You can tell, like, he wants to get in.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a rookie and this is your first training camp, you want to get out there and show something. I really thought, you know, he was one of my three guarantees before the game that I thought he was going to go out and have it. You know, my guarantee was he would have a 25-yard catch.
Mm-hmm.
And,
you got to play to do that.
We can look over there. You see Marcus Allen starting to get some ramped up there a little bit, too. So,
okay. Yeah, I mean, all in all, besides those two that we just mentioned, injury news has been pretty favorable. You know, we got a lot of the bigger hitters back on the field here this week, which is good. Back to the wide receiver situation. I mean, we know Deontay, Claypool, Pickens, and I think we know Austin is in, and I think we know Gunner's in. So that's five.
Yeah.
I would imagine it becomes a Sims versus Boykin type of situation, assuming they keep six, which is as good as the receivers are, I would think you keep six. Because Gunner's half receiver, half special teamer, too, you know?
Yeah, and they typically do keep six. They have kept five before in the past, but I think, you know, you almost have to keep six. If you're keeping your best players and guys that can help you on teams.
Three receiver sets, 75% of the time or something. You know, so, yeah, I mean, that makes total sense. Sims and Boykin couldn't be any more different, though.
Right, yeah.
You know, I mean, they're different skill sets. Both help on special teams, but in different ways. I was happy to see Boykin make plays on special teams. I think he had two tackles on teams on Saturday.
I thought Mitch Trubisky was just going to kick a field goal there. Did you see that?
I didn't.
They're snapping. So
he might still.
Presley Harvin is there. I guess, like, he's taking snaps. But Presley Harvin was taking a snap, and Trubisky was lining it up to, like, he was going to make a kick here.
He's actually holding now as, I guess, the emergency holder. I imagine it's something he was done in the
just
past.
Just something that you work on, you know, to get some work in with Kuntz.
But who would you take out of Boykin versus Sims if you got to pick one?
Again, what are you looking for? I mean, you know who your return guy is. Which one?
Yeah, that's
I think maybe the question should be, which one is less likely to get picked up if you release him?
I would say they're 50-50.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
Again, depends what other teams look for, too.
You know,
I think Boykin is going to help you more.
I think Boykin,
teams.
Yeah, gives you more, you know, flexibility with teams.
With this particular team, when you already have a return guy. But I think they have fewer options at slot.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's an outside guy. Claypool's, you know, projected to be the starting slot. Austin could do it, but I haven't seen him a lot operate out of the slot. So Sims might be better in the offensive situation. I lean towards taking the bigger guy, though.
I do, too. I just think he gives you more. Mm-hmm. There's more he can do for you.
Yeah, I think he's rarer.
Yeah. You know, those are tougher guys to find as we watch him catching punts here, too.
But I'm kind of bummed about the Miller news.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
You know, it just he was really looked like he was going to have a role with this team.
Yeah.
And was really kind of fitting in. And you know, they get to keep him on, I guess, scholarship for another year. But
right,
and
say
he'll
probably
be a year older
next year.
And,
you know, who knows? Things can change quick. And, again, he's a year older, and somebody's going to step up between now and then. And he's going to have a really good camp again next year.
Right, yeah, right. Back in the same situation.
Right.
But, you know, all that wide receiver depth they had. And Boykin didn't practice yesterday.
True.
He's dealing with a rib injury. So they just get, you know, Claypool and Deontay Johnson back, and now they lose a couple of guys at that position.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But that's football.
But, I mean, that's how things work here. And, you know, you don't want to overwork Deontay and those guys. But if I'm Claypool, I better get out there. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not sure that he's going to be in the mix in two receiver sets. I mean, I think there's a chance Pickens is the, quote, starter when they're in two receivers.
Yeah, but they play 11 so much.
They do.
I don't know if it's going to be quite as much as they did last year, but it's still going to be 60,
I'm sure it's in the top
60-plus percent of the time.
Yeah. I mean, I think the league in general is 60%, and they were at the top of the league. I bet they're not in the top three again, but I bet they're 10th, you know.
You want to put your best players on the field, I mean,
right.
I think that's the way to, you know, when they put it this way, when they opened up seven shots yesterday, Claypool, Johnson, Pickens, Freiermuth, and Harris were your eligibles.
Those are your
best.
That's
kind of how
your
you
best
draw
five,
it up.
Right?
Yeah, that's your best five guys.
I'm not sure who number six is. You know, like, I know who the top five are. I'm not sure who the sixth best player is. I do think, and if camp and preseason's any indication.
Watching Freiermuth now catch.
Yeah, this is kind of odd. You know, see guys of his shape and size, you know, catching punts.
He's going for two here. Just caught that with one hand. Just like,
did he?
Just grabbed it. No glove either.
That was pretty
impressive.
He just
snatched it like it was a, like he was picking up a grape.
Yeah, he's got
There's
three so far.
There's three.
Big old tight end showing off the hands.
Maybe he's
can
gonna
get
be,
number four here.
Can he get four?
Oh, no.
He just snatched the second one right out of the.
That
he just reached
one,
out with one hand and grabbed it.
I thought it hit the ground. I mean, he just snagged it with one hand. You never see anybody field a punt like that.
No. Is Gentry going to give it a shot here now?
I was actually about to bring up Gentry when we were talking about the 11 personnel stuff, because I do think Gentry, Hayward, McFarland are going to see the field.
Factor into it.
I mean, they're not as good as the top five, but they're going to get in on the field.
Yeah, I think so
as well.
Is
Gentry going to give this a shot? I can't. That's a great view, and I'm not going to
Gunner,
keep it.
Gunner taking Gunner, one there now. But, yeah, you're listening to the Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. I am Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson, of course, also being simulcast on ESPN 970. So if you're listening to us there, stick right here, because we are the only station bringing you live updates as we watch practice here. Nobody else is allowed to do this. It's just
right,
us.
Right, right.
So
it'll be kind of a play-by-play again today.
Absolutely.
When they get this thing rolling.
Give you the information as things happen.
They should be stretching shortly, though.
Yeah, they're so right. Just kind of going through, next 10 through some warm-ups here right now.
Remarkably, it's kind of a slow time around the league.
Yeah,
I was looking for news. There's not a lot of injuries. I think a lot of the league right now has played a game.
Right.
And
everybody's
kind of
played,
everyone's played a game, right?
Yeah.
And you take sort of a step back and say, okay, did what we did all practice time translate to the field in that game? And in the Steelers' case, I think it did. But I would think there's some front office and coaching staffs going, man, we're a corner short, or you're starting to get into this and you have a real good feel for your team and you've seen them play against somebody else. You might be just taking a step back and kind of calm here a little bit and figuring out.
Reassessing.
Yeah, yeah. Reassessing. I mean, a lot of steps forward and then, all right, let's see where we're at. Is our analysis of our team still what we thought it was after playing an opponent?
Yeah.
It's a lot different than practice.
It is different than practice, and you're still seeing some teams going out and scrimmaging against each other. I saw the Panthers and Patriots were scrimmaging against each other, and they couldn't stop fighting. There's a lot of fights in that camp.
Who breaks those up?
I don't know, but that's one of the reasons. Right. I think that's really one of the reasons why Mike Tomlin typically doesn't do the practices against an opponent. Especially, he'll do it against if it's a coach that he knows well, and they can kind of talk about how things are going to go. But I don't think he doesn't have any interest in coming out here and banging against another team if it's going to turn into that every other play.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could look at it that way of, we get more work done here without a distraction or the emotion, or I got to show these guys I'm the better man, I'm the tougher dude,
right.
I can't get pushed around on our home field, or, some of the ego stuff that gets in the way. And the other thing I think is interesting that you really have to have a good relationship with the other coach, like you said, is, well, what are we going to practice? Like, hey, we really want to work on third and long stuff. Well, we want to work on goal line. Well,
right.
We'll do neither.
Yeah,
or you win.
It doesn't match up.
Right,
then,
right, yeah.
And then you're going to play that team later in the week, so it's
So I can see not loving that situation. And they've gotten a lot of work done here. So, finish it up with a couple more days, go back to your humble abodes, and get into the meat of the season.
Yeah, it's right around the corner. We're less than a month out now. Season starts September 11th for the Steelers in Cincinnati, and it's now August 16th. So
right. Things are happening quick.
We're getting down to 3 weeks out. So
I'm looking forward to the Jacksonville game, too. I mean, I think that's another really good opponent. Like, there's a lot of teams in the league that are disinterested with – preseason football. Well, Seattle and Jacksonville aren't too.
We're not, yeah.
No, they did a lot to work on. They have new quarterbacks,
Yeah, I had some people say, well, they played Seattle. Seattle's not very good. But that doesn't mean Seattle wasn't trying and your backup.
See, I look at the opposite.
Yeah, I do, too.
I think they're a really hard preseason opponent.
Right.
I'd love to play them in the regular season because I don't think they're going to be good this year. But when you're trotting out two NFL quarterbacks and you're playing a high percentage of your starters – and, you have a lot to work on. Well, I think that's a tougher challenge than the Rams or Chiefs or some team that has – it's going to sit all their stars.
Yeah, absolutely.
I
agree.
About it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather play that team because they're trying to establish something.
Yeah.
And Jacksonville's the same way. You got a new coach down there and a young team.
Yeah.
And they're trying to establish
– in a big way.
Yeah.
Now, they have a lot to work on. They have a lot of new faces. They're extremely young. Their front seven, they got all new linebackers. You got the first overall pick. You got a big group of defensive tackles. I wrote an article today about the Steelers O-line. I think they're really going to be challenged by that Jag front.
Yeah.
Josh Allen as well. They got a lot of dudes that are going to play. That's the key, is they're going
to
play.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this game as well because you're going to see the starters in there to some degree. I would think that, some of the stars play at least a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see Hayward, you'll see Watt out there a little bit. This Mike Tomlin, not really into necessarily resting guys when it comes to that.
Are you getting the impression that this game, for the Steelers at least, will be their version of the dress rehearsal?
Yeah, the guys that I've talked to, nobody's come. They haven't told the coaches haven't told the players yet. But I think, I think that's how they're leaning with it. And I've talked to some different guys about, are you looking forward to getting out there? And yeah, we want to get out there and play. So. the guys want to play. I mean, you practice all this time. You want to go play football.
I would think so. I mean, even the Cam Haywards of the world would probably like to go out there and bang a little.
Yeah, I want to hit somebody else.
Make a play or two and get out. I get the impression, talking to some people the last 24, 48 hours or whatever, that the game three will probably be the picket show.
It
won't be. And you'll put a good line around them, and you'll give them, you know, weapons to really.
Yeah, I think the line plays
them,
no matter what.
I would play a line a lot. They need all the work they can get. There's
and
a couple spots that work.
Even the second line wasn't bad.
No. It's funny, when I wrote the article, there were a couple guys that played better than I thought. LeGlue, I thought, played really well. Yeah. I thought Hassenhauer played well. I mentioned Joe Haig yesterday. I thought he was really good. The other two, Scott and. What's the other?
Green.
I thought really had a tough time. Not Kendrick Green. The other Green. Right.
Chaz Green.
I thought those two were problematic, to be kind.
Yeah,
they were really a problem area. And but I don't know if they make the team or not.
They've got some good backups there that, you know, if they have to step in and play are NFL players.
Yeah. Oh, LeGlue is
guys who have
made a living
games.
For himself now, you know, coming out of nowhere. And Hassenhauer is a self-made guy. I guess that's basically Haig's story, too. But, I mean, he at least has been a – free agent in another team.
It was a fourth-round pick.
He came from nowhere, right. But, I mean, he's a swing tackle now. So those three guys I have faith in as depth guys. I was not super impressed with the way James Daniels played. I didn't realize this until I dug in, too, though. Moore and Green, the left side of the line, played about 35 snaps each.
Yeah.
All the others only played 16. So if you want to kill the front line, I mean, it was 16 snaps.
Right.
It was two series, you know. I mean, some of it wasn't great. Some was fine. I thought some of the run blocking was good. Moore in particular was a good run blocker. But it was 16 snaps. So let's not overreact to that, too. You know, maybe this game you'll see more.
Yeah, I would certainly think you'll see those guys out there more in this game as they get – into a little bit more, and you want your starting quarterback out there with the line that he's going to be working with.
Yep, but you're right, though. I mean, like, for game three, if Pickett plays all or a majority of it, he can live with Haas and LeGlue and Haig and those, you know, right.
Those guys are NFL players.
Yeah, that's not terrible. I mean, they'll be able to get a good look at him and really analyze him, and he'll have some time to throw and some holes to run through and those type of things.
Yeah, because you also have to remember that they'll be playing the Detroit Lions. I don't know how much the Lions are going to play their frontline guys in that game.
I don't know. I mean, just the first viewing of Hard Knocks, it seems like they're going to play everybody all the time. I mean, they're tackling
in
practice. And
biting ankles. And
right. I mean, so I don't know how they'll handle the third game, but they certainly are not bashful about playing their dudes so far.
Yeah, I mean, if you ain't got nothing, you got nothing to lose, right?
Yeah, right. So in a way, all three of those teams, I didn't think about the Lions, will all be really good preseason games.
Right.
You know, I'd rather they were on schedule in the regular season. But,
absolutely.
You know.
I don't think any of the three will be very good.
But. No. But they have a ton to play for. I mean, they're three of the bottom-feeding teams in the league with the most to work on.
Absolutely. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio and ESPN 970. We are live from Steelers training camp. The Steelers going through practice number 16 here in Latrobe. And they're going through team stretch right now. Got the guys out there all on the ground stretching out. So they'll get into this, and then they'll break up after this, go do some positional stuff, and then come back down for seven shots. We will bring you that live as well, as we always do. But we're going to take a break. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back to The Drive. I am Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. We are live from Steelers training camp here in beautiful Latrobe, Pennsylvania.
It's a nice day, isn't it?
This is a great day.
Yeah. Bright blue skies. You can see, you know, clearly the mountains and all. A little bit of a gust of wind, not hot. Yeah, I'm digging it.
Yeah, this is not too bad.
I don't think there's any thunderstorms on the horizon.
For once.
It's odd, so that's great.
Yeah. Just looking around out there to see who is not practiced. He still looks like Derek Watt is out. I mentioned Calvin Austin. Mentioned
looking
Marcus Allen still working his way back.
Is that about it?
That might be about it here from guys that I can that are obviously not practicing today. So not too bad. The Steelers have to cut down the roster to 85 today.
Oh, right.
By 4 o'clock. So that'll happen here. I don't think that's happened yet. I know they made the roster moves with some of the guys there.
I wonder, you'd have to really look, but I mean, I wonder if you inform the guys before this practice just to – if you know the answer already and, you know, one less guy you have to coach or injury liabilities and things like
that. Yeah, you don't want the guy going out there that you're going to cut. You don't want him getting hurt. Because
right. I wonder if there's five less guys
injury
out there that we wouldn't quite notice.
Yeah. You probably wouldn't notice the guys who weren't going to
Exactly.
Make it.
Right. So that's interesting. And I guess we'll get word of that probably in the next couple hours. So.
Yeah. They got to do that by 4 o'clock. All teams have to get down to that roster limit. So
and then there's another one shortly?
Next week, yeah.
Next week is
next
another
Tuesday.
Five?
Yeah,
okay.
Another five by next Tuesday. And then the following Tuesday is final cutdowns.
Yeah, that I know. So we're really getting close here.
Yeah.
Without doubt. And unfortunately, we're almost wrapping up our time at La Trobe, too. It's been a blast.
Yeah, players breaking off in their groups now to go do their position work. So seeing the DBs go off to the field over to our – on the far field to our right, the linemen, defensive linemen go to the far field on our left. The linebackers kind of go into their own little thing there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like they're going over with the defensive linemen today. They're going to do some drills over there. You get the wide receivers and quarterbacks here working in the middle of the field. And the running backs, they go off on their own as well. It's everybody has their own spot.
Yeah, I don't know if everyone realizes that, but like you have your own area of the field for indie drills. And I'm not sure if you mentioned it or I didn't hear you right, but the O-line's always in the end zone.
Yes.
And that's where the sleds are at. You know what I mean? Like they all have their little neck of the woods. Tight ends are in the corner here. They're always there pregame.
Yeah. And so. Often they'll come down here and work on these get low.
Yeah,
call those things.
I don't know what you call them, but
they get sleds. You got to stay down, get underneath the bar, and then hit the sled.
Mm-hmm.
Just get teaching you to stay low.
This PVC pipe that if you hit your helmet off, it's not a big deal, but you want to stay under it all the time.
I'd like to start making my own football equipment. You know,
I
didn't get into that.
Right,
come up with some ideas. The football on a stick and things of that
football
nature.
Football on a stick is genius. Someone just didn't want to bend over.
Yeah.
You know, why would I bother?
And then you had the ones with, like, the punching, the boxing glove on a stick to work on.
Oh, yeah, trying to get
punch
the ball
it out. Yeah, things of that nature. There's all kinds of little toys that they have out here.
There are, and some are homemade.
Look at those toys.
Yes.
Wonderful toys.
Yeah, and there's, like, the gauntlet thing that has, like, that pretends to be all the arms you're supposed to run through.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the heavy stuff, you know, that, and, of course, there's a bunch of different sleds. There's seven-man sleds, one-man sleds, two-man sleds, you know, all this stuff, too. So.
Yeah.
A little kid down there hanging on the tackling dummy, too. So there you have it.
Yeah.
Those suckers are heavier than you think.
They are. They are. They have those ones. They used to have them, the ones that were motorized, that were, you could control.
Yeah, that was
never really
wasn't, didn't Carnegie Mellon come up with that or something?
Yeah, and Danny Rooney, the Art's son, I think, was involved with that as well.
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's a good idea in theory in that you don't want to tackle a ball carrier. You want to tackle that guy.
Right.
You know? I don't know where they went, or they must have been some malfunction with them or whatever, because I don't see
them
anymore.
They just didn't like to use them. I don't know.
Right. But there was a summer or two of them running around here on wheels.
Yeah. They got all kinds of stuff like that that you look at that you use. Again, these guys are trying to get as prepared as they can.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the new innovations are these beanie things they put on their helmets there's always thinking – how to make practice better, safer, more efficient, you know, all these different ideas. And I'm sure many of them haven't worked over the years, but such is life, you know.
The caps will stay on until...
Yeah, what's the rule on that?
After the second preseason game, they're mandatory through the second preseason game. It'll be interesting to see if Mike Tomlin sticks with those because he's got more guys wearing them, I think, than had to wear them. And they wore them in OTAs and in minicamp, even though they didn't. They wore them in minicamp, even though they didn't necessarily have to.
Yeah, and from what I understand, the rule is, I think it's running backs, linebackers, and certainly linemen have to wear them. I mean, the ones that are banging heads a lot.
Yeah,
you know, right. I mean, they're consistently, even if they're just short area, you know, collisions. The receivers don't. The D backs don't. And everyone but the quarterbacks here has them on. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's obviously a team-mandated situation. It's not a player-by-player, you know, decision.
Even here, Matt, we're watching the wide receivers work here in front of us, and they're catching rugby balls. What would be the benefit of catching a rugby ball as opposed to regular football?
Part of me thinks that's just overthinking it. You know, I mean, like,
It is a bigger ball, though.
It's a bigger ball, and I understand throwing these rugby balls because they're heavier. I remember Ben used to do it a lot. And
maybe you're strengthening the hands because you have to.
I guess. You know, I mean, it's Jerry Rice used to catch bricks. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just a different way of training your hands, and your hands do have to be stronger. I can understand throwing them in practice because it's kind of like swinging a heavy bat. And I guess catching it's the same degree, but yeah. I don't know if you get as much out of that as it looks. And they didn't do it very long. I
mean, no,
they all
just
caught
a few,
like, two
yeah.
of them or whatever.
Right.
They're catching fade routes down the sidelines. And
sometimes
nicely,
get,
by the
sometimes
way.
We can get an idea of what they're going to work on.
On individual drills.
By watching
correct.
Some of the individual drills. You mentioned their wide receivers catching fade routes. Then when they'll get together with the quarterbacks here, quarterbacks right now practicing their handoffs to the running backs.
Mm-hmm. Even the basic stuff. People think, a handoff's easy. And, yeah, it is, but if you never practice it, it's ugly.
Yeah.
Like, when I was new at Pitt, I was shocked, you know, whenever they scripted practice, there was like a four-minute period every day quarterback center exchange. Every day.
Yeah.
And they were out there doing that on their own for exactly the minute until that many minutes until the horn blew. And, you know, they just don't want to screw any of them up. And, I mean, every team's different. But I was like, they really practice that every day?
Every day.
4 or 5 minutes a day? You know,
I like the when they do the handoff stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So the quarterbacks will hand the football off. Then they'll roll out. A coach will toss them a football. They'll roll out opposite of where the running back went. And they'll make a throw on the run.
Just get more out of one rep.
Yeah, more than just take, okay, we're just going to hand the football off here. No, you still got to make a throw, and they've got a guy, you know, positioned, you know, for a 10-yard out.
Mm-hmm.
And you just so you get used to throwing that on the run. No, you're not on the full-speed run, but you get your
– It's a muscle memory thing.
Yeah, it's working on your footwork and getting your shoulders square and things of that nature.
Yeah, and I think the reason you do it is, well, let's maximize the rep. You could just hand it off and do nothing. But, you know, you're out here, you might as well get one more thing done. But more so – I think it teaches the quarterbacks to sell that have the football still. I mean, even if they hand it off. And if you don't hand it off, it's still the same mechanics of a play-action rollout. You know, so if you do have the ball and faked it to the back, well, now you're doing the second half of the drill. So there's something to be said for that. You know, and then you're throwing on the run, which they ask these quarterbacks to do a lot.
I'll tell you what. I know Chris Olatokun hasn't gotten any reps.
He's out there working.
He throws a nice football.
He does. He does. I mean, and no one talks about that guy, but there's some skills there.
Oh, there's definitely some things that you can work with there with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm watching him throw the football. I mean, the ball jumps out of his hand.
Yeah, yeah. And he moves pretty well. He's kind of a fluid guy. Do you think he plays at all in the preseason? Maybe that last game?
He hasn't taken a snap in practice. Like, right. I don't know if it would be fair to play him in a game at this point.
No, you're right. I mean, that probably answers it in itself. And,
I mean,
and I don't think he's going to get a whole lot today, you know.
And he's not, you know, are they going to give him a bunch of snaps next week? Probably not.
Probably not. I mean, Pickett needs everyone he can get. And so the same with these other guys.
Right.
I mean, his only shot would be an injury to one of the three or Rudolph gets traded or something. You know, I mean, it's the only chance that he'd get a chance to even get reps in practice, really, because it's full right now.
Should note that the Steelers are in full pads again today.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was a good practice yesterday.
Yeah,
I thought it was very spirited, physical, you know, a lot of good drills, too, that were competitive. So hopefully get the same again. Doesn't seem to have the same exuberance this early as it did yesterday, but we'll see. It's very, very early. They're just doing indie stuff.
Yeah, we'll see how things go here. The offensive lineman heading down there to get ready to do 7 shots, and you will see the defensive lineman come over here in a bit. But right now, the wide receiver is still practicing that fade route down the
sideline. Yeah, they're running the same drill over and over. I mean, the same route over and over.
The quarterbacks here are taking a pass, rolling out to their left and throwing, again, that 10-yard out.
Mm-hmm.
That's about an 8-yard out.
Yeah, about it.
Yeah.
So,
but on the run.
Quick question. The pecking order at quarterback, do you think at this point Pickett's going to get the second team stuff? Or do you think him and Rudolph are bouncing back and forth like they did much at camp?
I mean, we'll find out here with 7 shots.
Today will be interesting.
Yeah, today we'll know for sure in 7 shots. I know going through the drill work here.
He was 2 yesterday.
He was 2 yesterday. Going through the drills here, though, today, Rudolph was 2.
And Pickett was 3. Wasn't even watching their order.
Just the order of how they're doing things here.
No, you're right. So we'll see in 7 shots. I mean, if
the ball
Rudolph
jumps out of Olatokun's hand.
It is kind of interesting. Right?
Somebody asked me, you know, which quarterbacks have the strong, you know, which quarterback has the strongest arm, and I'm like,
might be him.
I said, well, I think it's Trubisky has the strongest arm, and then it's Olatokun second. Like,
I'd have to think about that a little bit, right? I mean, Trubisky of the three that play has the strongest arm, but he throws it pretty well, and it's a real loose, easy motion too.
Yeah, watch his throw. Rolling to his right is like three steps and letting it go. The ball just jumps.
Yeah, yeah. He's got that real fluid, you know, release. Real easy thrower. Easy gas.
I could see why they like that guy.
Yeah, right. I mean, we're really getting ahead of ourselves. But I'm curious what he looks like next camp. Everyone will be forgetting about him, but I bet he plays a lot of preseason reps.
I think maybe that's the reason why you don't play him in the preseason, because you don't want anybody else to get a look at him.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. Like, you know exactly what he is. You have nothing. You have no threat.
There's nothing to be gained by playing him in the preseason,
right? And except for letting the world know a little bit more about him. If he makes some dramatic play and he's on SportsCenter, like, you don't want that.
No, right? Yeah,
right. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if anybody would pick him up, but they might. You know,
they might. I mean,
they have a little more knowledge on him. They probably, some other teams liked him, and you know, coming out of the draft.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, that's why people have asked me, why did the Steelers draft him? Well, they weren't going to be able to sign.
An
undrafted free agent quarterback of any note.
And maybe they had a fifth-round grade on him, and they're looking at him like, well, why don't we just take him and bring another quarterback in the mix and see how it goes?
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, what do you get to lose there? He was like
Was
242nd player taken in the draft. Like,
Can't be dramatically different with a seventh-round safety or guard or something.
People, they could have drafted another offensive lineman. Really, a seventh-round lineman's going to –
How many of those guys might get?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, for every Brett Kiesel, there's 10 other guys who didn't make it.
And I'm a big believer, which goes back to some of the Pickett stuff, is just take as many bites of the quarterback apple as possible.
Yeah.
I mean, there's also seventh and late-round quarterbacks that have made it, too.
Absolutely.
Like a Kiesel, you know. So, I mean, even a backup, it'd be worth a, you know, well worth that pick.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick was a seventh-round draft pick. He played a long time.
Right. Yeah. Very successful career for where he was picked.
Absolutely. So we're getting ready.
Gearing up here for seven shots, I think.
We're going to do seven shots down here on this end. Usually it's where the offensive linemen are at.
Right. And usually I don't like the big guys move. But
yeah.
Must be something in
the
works.
They were down to our left yesterday. I think they might be down to our right today. We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll see. But
things
start not happening quite yet.
Not quite.
Looks like they're going to do a little bit more indie quarterback
stuff.
Looks
like the running backs over there, looks like they're working on some pass protection.
Yeah, they are.
Wonder if they're going to do
the medicine ball.
Wonder if we might get to see one last shot of backs on backers today.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
That would be as unsuspecting.
Usually when they're going to do backs on backers, they do this drill. If they got a heavy ball, and so the backs come out and the coach,
they work on their hands.
Yeah, work on getting, you know, you got to push the ball away.
Mm-hmm.
Get the ball out.
They start where a running back would behind center, and they come out to a target real abruptly, real short, choppy steps, quick steps, sink their butt, you know, try to get a nice flat back, and those big hands slapping that ball away, you know, as a punch, you know, almost like an offensive lineman. It's a good drill.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I don't know what that was.
There you go.
We fired off a commercial there. Did somebody tell us we need to go to break here? I don't know what's going on with that. But Zach back in studio says he promises us he did not touch it.
Okay.
Zach, I believe Zach there.
We get the message.
Yeah. I guess we could go to a break here so that when they go to seven shots, we'll be ready to bring that to you live. So he is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio and ESPN 970. We are live here at Steelers training camp at St. Vincent College in Latrobe. We are the only station bringing you all the goods here during practice, and we'll be back with more right after this.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I am Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson, and we are live from Steelers training camp here at St. Vincent College. This team, Steelers on the practice field right now, going through seven shots here. Tough to tell. They're not going super live here.
No, they're kind of three-quarter speed.
Yeah, the first play was a quarterback scramble up the middle. They cleared out the box, and it was kind of a that was an actual touchdown there. That's touchdown to Freiermuth.
Yeah, to Freiermuth. Yeah. I think was that his second one?
Second one.
His first one, I mean, yeah, they're not 100% live, and maybe, you know, he would have got – I don't know if he got sacked on that one, but he would have got hit at least. But – Trubisky's ability to extend plays is very real.
Yeah. You know, oh, yeah. I mean, no doubt about it.
He does a nice job with it, you know, sometimes rolling backwards to his right, left. But it's always with his eyes downfield to make a throw.
And he has the arm strength to make some of those throws.
Right.
You know.
Oh, Pickett's now in.
Pickett's now in. So it was just three chances there for Trubisky? Did I miss one?
I thought there was four.
There might have been four. We were kind of blocked there.
Yeah. That was nicely done by Kenny. Yeah, that was a quick little release, quick little decision. That was nice.
Yeah, to Anthony McFarland.
Mm-hmm.
So he is
throwing to
he
his
is
left on,
second
on the
here again
accurately.
Today. Took the little play action and then rolled to his left and
hit McFarland. McFarland's got a lot of passes on this field in the last couple
weeks.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he's done well.
Yeah, they seem to have a plan of some sort for him.
Yeah, certainly part of the passing game, and he's going to get the football.
Yeah, okay. He's set up now to pick it in the shotgun, motions McFarland out from his left and puts him out in the slot. Takes a snap, looking to his right.
Got him. I don't know if he got in bounds or not.
It was to Hayward. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a bunch set to the left that they had all kinds of, you know, picks and rubs routes on the left, but he went to the right where Hayward came free there. I'm just not sure if he got his whole body in bounds or not, but it was close to it.
Yeah, I think it may have been a touchdown.
Yeah, I think I would give it to him.
Yeah. From looking at it from 60 yards away.
right. And how the staff and everybody has kind of responded.
Yeah, now Rudolph is up. I must have missed a Trubisky rep.
I think so.
But the offense is definitely winning this one today.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're 100% right.
Yeah. But again, I make note that it hasn't been a full speed.
Boom. That was nice by Rudolph, too. Put it on him immediately.
I think he dropped it. I know he caught it. Okay. Yeah.
Good throw, good decision. So Mace only got one rep.
Yeah. Which has been
That's pretty much the way it works.
That was the Tyler Vaughns, the hero of the game
exactly.
The other night.
Exactly. Right, right. So, 4-2-1 is usually how they do the quarterback.
Correct.
Seven
shots. Well, early in camp, they were doing 4-3, and Pickett wasn't getting any shots with that.
Mm-hmm.
Then they worked him in, gave him one, and then, you know, they started rotating that, getting him one or two. Snaps, you know, opportunities with that. So, not bad.
Yeah. I thought it was some crisp throws in general there in that seven shots period.
And we see the running backs heading down here with the linebacker. So, that's what we wanted to see, a little backs on backer action today.
Yeah, I think that's what we're going to get, right?
Yeah, it looks, certainly Excellent. Looks like it.
And I assume we'll get one-on-ones the other direction, too.
Yeah.
Receivers versus corners.
Yeah, nobody cares about that.
Yeah, that's not as good as backs on backers. So.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Absolutely. So, we'll get
get a couple minutes here before they probably start banging, but there'll be some good action with this one.
Absolutely, yeah.
I'm really interested to watch Warren more than anything. Yeah, he did well. The last backs on backers period that I saw was about a week or so ago. I thought he did quite well, but it worries me a little bit just with his stature. If this is going to be if he'll be able to shine in this department, you know, big picture or not. We got Najee versus Spillane, I think.
Yeah. That is the matchup, Najee versus Spillane. Let's see how this goes. I would expect Najee to hold his own here, and he does.
He did. He dipped his head a little.
A little bit,
but
he's still, very late in the rep.
Really good feet.
Yeah.
I mean, if you forget how big he is and how agile he is laterally. I mean,
he might actually weigh more than Spillane.
I bet he does.
Yeah.
He looks like a bigger person.
Spillane's
just the two of them
listed at like 235-ish, somewhere in that range.
No, I think Najee's heavier
bigger
than
that, yeah.
Wasn't bad.
Not bad.
Warren
against
Devin
Bush.
Got a good shot on him, initial blow, kind of misdirected him. To Bush's credit, he kept up the heat and, you know, kept coming and might have been able to impact the play a little
not
bit.
Not a bad rep by him, though, either.
No, it wasn't.
Miles Jack here and Najee Harris.
No, that was Najee. Okay.
Yeah.
Another one really well done by Najee, kind of sat down after making contact.
That's really a strength of his game.
And at Alabama, I thought he had a little bit of work to do on that. So he's quietly really worked
on that. It's a very underrated thing for running backs to be able to do.
Yeah.
And you can't get on the field if you can't do that.
No, 100%. And I find it a little interesting.
Nice rep there by Terrell Edmonds against Anthony McFarland.
But fans are cheering about something that happened on the other side.
Yeah, somebody caught a ball.
Backs and backs are better.
Somebody caught a ball.
Some of these guys, Miles Jack is one, came off the edge. You know, I thought that was interesting that the Miles didn't line up straight ahead and from a typical linebacker spot.
Nice rep there by Arthur Millett.
Yeah,
he's
it was.
Really growing on me as a player.
Yeah, I do. I am too.
Yeah. He can
slot,
play.
Slot blitzes.
He can do it. He's reloaded that one again here. But he ducked and got under.
Now, Millett comes hard.
Yeah. working against a much bigger man there too, and
pretty much always will be.
Yeah, right.
You know? But still, if you can get a D-back isolated on a running back in a blitz situation, you got a shot.
Yeah, he was working against Master Teague.
There. No, is that who it was? Yeah. Teague's a big guy.
Yeah, right. He's a much bigger back. He won the second round.
We got Durant here against
Buddy Johnson.
Against Buddy Johnson.
Yeah. Good rep.
I would say Durant won that.
Yeah.
Some of these are draws, but, I mean, I think Durant got
the better. If it's a draw, the offense wins. You know,
right.
Yeah. I mean, this one favors the defense in a big way. Mark Robinson tried to go inside there. That didn't work.
No. Really didn't. That was against Najee. Najee's been really strong at this.
He's dominant at this.
Yeah.
I mean, he's bigger than all the backs.
He's bigger than all the backs, and he's got such long arms.
Because they don't have the outside guys here. These are safeties and middle inside linebackers coming here. Interesting, they don't usually use Edmonds in this drill.
No. I wonder if they're playing on maybe a little more blitz with him.
Good.
That was, again, Warren against Bush.
Bush, yeah.
I think Warren won that one, all in all.
That's a good matchup, too.
It is a good matchup. Yeah. That Warren's still in there, I think.
Oh, boy. Now, see, that's one there. That was McFarland against Millett. That's one that McFarland has to be able to hold his own on.
Yeah,
that's a much smaller
guy. He'd be able to match
his
quickness. You know, I can.
If he gets run over, I get it.
That's what I say. It's forgivable if he gets run over. You know, I mean, and he holds his own, but somebody just gets is bigger and bull rushes him right down the middle of him. I mean, I can understand that, but
yeah,
you don't want to get out quick in this if you're McFarland.
No, you do not. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio and ESPN 970, bringing you live coverage here from Steelers training camp practice. Not bad job by Teague on that one.
No. When they take the outside path, I always wonder, like, I mean – is that cheating if you're Spillane? Because he kind of dips them, rips them. Ooh, whoa, 34 just put 40 on his back.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a power move and just flat out dumped him right
again,
on his
back. Again, that's going to do it for Terrell Edmonds. He's not going to get any more reps on this. But
that was a good way to leave.
Good job.
Boy, that
good
was
job
the best rep
him,
of any of the defensive guys.
We got over on the other field, we got outside linebackers working against tight ends here as well. Lots of competition going on right now. On the opposite field over here, we got one-on-ones run blocking offensive and defensive
line. I wish I could
watch
all these separately.
Right, these are four good competition periods here in front of us at the same time.
Right, we got one-on-one O line versus D line. One-on-one.
Ooh, Bush just beat Najee Harris on
that
one. Yeah,
that's what you want to see. That's a promise.
Absolutely
right. I'm definitely rooting for Bush in that situation. I know Najee can do it.
Yeah, but
I think I got to concentrate on those.
A good rep for him.
Whoa, 45 brought the lumber on that one too.
That's what you got to do in this. Yeah, they're doing the tight end
OLBs,
outside linebacker run blocking over. That's always a good drill, too.
Yeah.
Get to see which of the
– asking them to pass block is a problem for the tight ends, but, I mean, the run blocking game is a good
– you better be able to do it. Now Edmonds coming back down again, so maybe they want him to take some more reps doing this.
Maybe just want him to run back and forth on the field. It looks like he's getting tired running from one end of the field to the other. What do you do? Go down there and they're like, get out of here. Go rush
the
passer.
Yeah, go back down and rush the passer some more. No, now he's heading back again.
Oh, geez. Nobody wants him. Everyone just keeps kicking him out.
I wonder, you know.
He left with a bang, though.
Matt, we saw some dime yesterday.
Yeah.
Maybe you send Edmonds down there because you're thinking about using him maybe more as a linebacker in a dime.
I think that adds up 100%.
Yeah.
I think that's a great observation. I mean, if you have.
That's what I get paid big money for.
Oh, yeah. Of the six DBs that would be involved, he would be
the biggest
run-stoppiest, blitzer-ish, you know. I mean, so that would add up, you know, have him hovering around the box.
Yeah.
It would make some sense.
And he's. I mean, I talked to DeMonte KZ today, and he's not a real big dude.
No, he's not.
I'll tell you what, he's a strong tackler. Mm-hmm. That showed up in the game when he tackled. So they stayed tackled. Like they did not.
He throws his body around. He's not bashful at all.
That's what he told me.
He's quite aggressive.
He's like, it's all about the size doesn't matter. It's all about the heart.
Right.
And,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, he may bounce off of Derrick Henry or so, but I mean, he's not going to go down trying.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he's not the only D-back in the league that's going to have a hard time against those dudes. But
no,
I like the way he plays a lot.
Yeah.
I mean. Goes back to the nickel dime conversation, but I think you need to get him on the field some, you know,
right,
even when everyone's healthy,
depending
on the opponent and all that too. But
I agree. Washington beating Texas,
6-5.
The win is in the books. So Washington advancing now to face Mexico in the semifinals tomorrow.
Very nice.
This is the farthest a Washington team has made it in several years here.
Okay, you helped assemble them. Congrats to your guys, huh?
it's a lot of work to get that all together, but
I can
coming
imagine.
To fruition.
How many teams did it start with?
In the series or in our league? The World Series starts with 10 teams. Okay. So they're down to the final four now.
Very nice. And that's the furthest you guys have gone in a while, huh?
Yeah. It's tough. I mean, you're facing international competition there. Teams are being picked from much, much larger.
I bet Texas could put a pretty good team together.
Yeah. You know, some of these areas, I remember one year Tamiami, Florida was there, and they won the good rep there against Najee.
That was Spillane.
Spillane against Najee,
got his hands in on him early and stunned him a little bit.
Yeah.
He couldn't finish because, see, Spillane's balance is questionable. You know, I mean, like, if that's Von Miller, I know Von Miller's awesome, but, I mean, he gets the passer there, you know. He doesn't go down to one knee.
But you're also not getting Von Miller coming clean like that against a bad
defense. Right. That's... I just mean, like, you know, pass rushers that can get low and not lose speed and all that. I mean, Spillane doesn't have that, but he had that thump.
Was that a rep for 21 there?
Yeah. Yes.
So Trey Norwood coming in there off the edge.
Okay. More and more D-backs showing up in this drill. So who's Millett, Norwood, and Edmonds have all gotten a rep?
Yeah.
Okay. Doesn't take a whole lot of deductive
to see what they might be working on there.
See what you're up to here. This looks like a D-back, too. I can't see a number.
That's 30.
Yeah.
That's
30.
That's 30. That's Carlin's Platel.
Okay.
He's a kind of a hybrid safety / corner.
He's sort of a Norwoodish type guy, right?
Yeah.
Not just an outside corner.
He's the guy that was a Division II guy and then went back for his fifth-year grad and went to South Carolina and became an immediate starter. So
okay.
That's not easy.
He's had
to
some
do.
Rough moments, but he's out there working.
That's not an easy jump to make.
No, that's not. That's a good point.
So
who we got
coming here? Another defensive back? Yeah, 30 coming again here. They got to reload that one. They want to see this again. So it's Platel against, it looks like, Mateo Durant. Yeah. That's not Mateo Durant's strong suit.
No, he kind of left his feet jumping there.
Yeah, he kind of jumped in the air.
Got a little awkward. A stronger rusher would have thrown him to the side. He was lucky he was up against a D-back.
Right? Yeah. If that's if that's TJ Watt, he throws him over onto the other field.
Yeah. Not bad by 33. Ducked his head a little bit, but he stayed square and moved well laterally.
He's not bad.
No, he's not.
Yeah, not bad at all.
He's growing on me, too.
Yeah, for sure. We'll do one last rep here before we head off to break here. Who is this one?
Who we got?
Looks like Mark Robinson lining up here on the defensive side of things. And it looks like the running back is – I'm going to do a power deduction here. It's not 24. 24 is in uniform, though, today. So Benny Snell is back.
That's good. I didn't realize that.
Ooh, ooh, wow. Ooh. That was Master Teague getting run over by Mark Robinson.
Robinson splattered him. Real good run.
Just went straight through it.
There was three or four
right
of those
down the middle.
Defensive players that just run it back.
They're going to run that one back
one
more time
here?
Yeah.
Teague's don't like a sturdy guy, but you don't want to leave on that note.
You don't want to do that.
You going to give him another
one? He got low, but he just got bowled over.
He just got bowled over. Yeah. Right. There was a lot of pop in his hands. Robinson has some ability.
Yeah, you know, he just needs to harness some things there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can see some traits.
Okay. Oop. Okay. That always happens. Like when a guy goes with a power move like that, then he tries to go with speed the next play, and it doesn't work.
And it didn't work.
Go
right,
power
right.
again. Why not?
Yeah, right. I mean, he takes the outside
angle. Going to reload
there.
That one again? No, we're going to reload that. We're going to go to break.
Okay.
He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio and ESPN 970. We are live here at Steelers training camp. If you couldn't tell, that's what you're hearing the play-by-play from. Ooh, nice collision there. Good job by Jalen Warren.
Yeah, Warren did well. Sturdy dude.
Yeah, that was against Devin Bush again. They've got the work.
Those two
battled,
five times maybe?
Yeah, that's a lot. But, we're going to go to break here. We'll be back with more right after this.